necessary. Any leadership that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave you.
I have a dream. Satisfied as long as the Negro is the fifth victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin?
Hey kings and queens, welcome to another episode of the Uncanny Truth Tellers, starring your new host, Allie B, and also your old host, as I know as KT, but you know as
Kanye Tetsibo.
So today's topic is actually going to be about black culture, and actually it's going to be about certain topics that influence black culture. For example, some that I would like to think about would be some of the old school sitcoms and how they actually relate to the black community. For example, one of my favorite old school sitcoms would be Martin. What about you?
For me, it'd be A Different World.
I like A Different World, but I would also say, I'd say The Cosbys, but to a certain extent. I will also say
Living Single,
yes. Also, what's some other ones?
What about Sister Sister?
I reject Sister Sister. You could keep that one. No. Accent out Sister Sister. The Parkers. Yeah, that's kind of funny. Moesha. But, like, the main ones that I really feel that a lot of people don't know about until it actually finished airing would be Martin, Living Single, and of course A Different World. Now with A Different World, let's get into talk about A Different World. So for me, A Different World, it influenced me because A Different World showed black people in a positive light. It showed black people being educated, black people doing positive things with their life and going to school, because a lot of people don't even see that an educated black man, an educated black woman is actually, for me, a threat to society. But it shows black people in a positive light, and I think that's really important. What about you?
Yes, it's very important because it's not something you would see in today's society with the sitcoms like Love and Hip Hop, Black Ink. It's more dumbed down to the point where it's just pure drama, and that's what they'd be pushing. So when you look at shows like A Different World, you're pretty much getting a message within the show. And yes, we know white people own these networks and everything. And you have to think about how did these black people put these certain messages within their shows, keeping it on the air for as long as they did, while actually having to appeal to these white people, these white executives.
True. I agree completely. And I actually want to commend Bill Cosby, because supposedly Bill Cosby is the one who actually started A Different World. Like, basically, A Different World is like a spinoff to The Cosbys, because his daughter, Lisa Bonet, actually goes to college, which is Hillman, which is from A Different World. So also, when it comes to A Different World, with Cosby, from what I've heard about it, is he actually had white executive producers and stuff, in which as you can see, like, if you see the first season to the end, you see a change in the storyline. Because at the beginning, it was more about his daughter's experience in college, and it was really flat. Like, she didn't really have a story. Like, yeah, she went through, like, the typical things that we go through when we go to college, you know, like trying to juggle work and school and tests and everything, but there was, it was flat. Like, it didn't have much into her storyline. So Cosby saw that this was an issue, and he was like, you know what, how can these white producers and stuff relate to black experience? They can't. So at the end of the day, he said, you know what, I'm going to bring in a black producer, in which I believe that's when he hired Debbie Allen. Debbie Allen, I don't know if everyone knows of Debbie Allen, but Debbie Allen also is the sister to, I believe, Felicia Rashad, or they're related. It's Debbie Allen. She also played in the episode in the show, but yes, Debbie Allen, Felicia Rashad, and there's another sibling that is well known. I will have to check that, but yeah, that's her sister, I believe. So Debbie Allen took it from it basically being about his daughter to putting the main focus on other students. Now, also, it wasn't only because her story was flat. I heard a rumor, I don't know how much it's true, but I heard another reason why they dropped her storyline was because I think she got pregnant, and they were saying that's not what they wanted the focus to be on, or she basically obviously couldn't play. I think if they probably would have even kept her and tried to make her still continue, it would have also related to what a lot of women even today go through, because a lot of women, they do get pregnant and feel like their only option is just to drop out of school, where there's women who go to school and they're raising their child at the same time. So that could have been depicted in a negative or a positive light as far as the Lisa Bonet situation goes. But some other things, like, let's talk a little bit about the characters. Like, who would you say was your favorite character in A Different World?
For me, it'd be Dwayne.
Why?
Because he's someone you can actually relate to, especially in my case, being a nerd and growing up with technology and wanting to do things and be able to teach others that same knowledge, passing it down.
But do you think that they kind of make the cast kind of cliche-ish? It's like, if you will, the Breakfast Club. Like, you have the nerd, you have the prep, you have the popular stuck-up princess, you have the rebel, all of that, in which I would say Freddie would be more of like the rebel, Dwayne the nerd, Whitley, of course, the stuck-up preppy princess. You have Kim. You have a lot of different interesting people, in which another thing I also heard about as far as A Different World go is Freddie is actually, well, she was dating Dwayne while doing A Different World, in which at the end of the day, Dwayne was with Whitley. So I don't know how you do a show watching your boyfriend be with the leading lady and then you're just like on the sidelines with somebody else. Like, that had to be nerve-wracking. I know it would be for me, so.
Well, as far as cliches go, it seems like that was the typical thing back then, especially in black sitcoms. Look at Steve Urkel. He was pretty much two different cliches in one, where he goes from being this nerd and then transform into this super cool jock-like character.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, that also brings me back to in a different world where you see, like, as the seasons, you know, progress, you see the characters progress, because you see, like, Dwayne go from this nerdy, geeky guy to this very confident, you know, like, very confident, educated, sophisticated black man. And then it's funny how the tables turn, because then the princess becomes poor, and then the person that was ill to her is now ooh la la. So it's fun watching them progress into different characters. Just like, well, the only character I feel that didn't really progress would be Ron.
He stayed the same.
Ron stayed the same, and it's like, you know, we all have those friends who basically, like, Ron was the one who basically, he didn't, yeah, like, he didn't even graduate, did he? He was there when the youngins came, when Dwayne was a teacher and stuff, yeah. Like.
And that's the issue I had with the Parkers, with Monique's daughter. Her character just stays so stagnant through all the seasons, even to the point where she doesn't graduate while everyone else graduates.
Well, going to the Parkers, I would have to say that that is kind of like a complicated situation, because with the Parkers, you would have, it's just like how the Cosbys in A Different World, that's the spinoff to it. Basically, her character started off at Moesha, in that spinoff into the Parkers. They like collided them and joined them as far as story bases go and related to each of the shows. So in Moesha, she was basically, for me, I feel like they use her as comedic support as well, because she basically is the funny one in Moesha and in hers, the Parkers. Like, she just was there for laughs. Like, it, and in a way, people were saying, like, it kind of brings her down as a black woman, because it made her seem like she just was, basically, let me just say, she was dumb. But, I mean,
and that's why I think a lot of people have issues with the whole, with a lot of black sitcoms, especially with the whole comedic support thing, because you want to see all of these black characters do well, be successful, and actually grow. You don't want to just see comedy all the time, because, yeah, you can have comedy. You can have that one crazy character. Like, even with Blackish, with Andre's friend, he has moments where it's like, oh, wow, you just too on the nose with the comedy, but then I don't know, where he says something that actually smarts, and is you sit there and think about it, it's like, oh wow, that actually has a legitimate base to it. But then they just go back and say, okay, you were smart for this amount of time, go back to being stupid again.
Right. Agreeable. But I mean, with the whole thing, like, for example, off of topic for a little bit, it's like they were saying, with Hollywood, they say that black men aren't good for leading roles, that basically for a black man to be successful in Hollywood, he would have to either play gay like playing as like a woman or something like that, or he would have to be a comedian. And this is why I commend one of the greatest, Denzel Washington, because he is one of those actors that if you just sit and think, what movies have Denzel Washington play in where he's not the main character? He always plays the leading male in maybe 95% of the movies he's in. Like, he isn't about taking roles that degrade men or even, you know, black women or anything. He always plays strong roles or, you know, good roles. So, but for example, you have some good actors like
the late and great Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, well, he would be up there with Denzel because all the roles he played are iconic, like Thurgood Marshall, James Brown,
Jackie Robinson, the Black Panther.
Like, he played like iconic roles. He did, like, before, like everybody, he took little roles, but eventually, once he established himself, the only roles that he took were iconic roles and just powerful people in history. But I was gonna say, an example of what I'm trying to say, as far as what they say about black men in Hollywood, would be Eddie Murphy. Look, if you, even though he plays leading roles, but look at the type of roles he's playing. Like, for example, he, for me, before Beverly Hills Cop, he was known, well, after Beverly Hills Cop, he was known, and I feel what really put him on the map was The Nutty Professor, in which he had to play as women, the grandma, the mother, just all of that. And also another example would be Martin. Martin is known for his show, Martin, in which he's playing as women as well. He's playing as Shanae, you know, like, so it's like, I would like to see, like, some of those actors, if they would have took more powerful roles or serious roles and not always just put them in comedy or certain roles where they have to basically be something that doesn't really represent them. It's always good to step out your comfort zone once in a while to challenge yourself as an actor, but
and then you have your Tyler Perrys, where they get stuck in that one role. And for me, his writing is absolutely abysmal towards black men and women, especially with dark-skinned couples when it comes down to those type of things.
Well, I see what you mean by that, but I do not think that way completely about Tyler Perry. I think he is a good writer, and I think that he has good movies and stuff, but I just feel like in certain movies where he tried to branch off from being Madea all the time, for example, like I was telling you, Alex Cross, in the movie he was interrogating a guy and you just could not take him serious because as he's yelling at the guy, you just hear Madea voice the whole time. The way he spoke to him, you just hear Madea. And then what's another movie I was telling you that he did? I'm not sure, but there's another movie also that he did, not a part of the whole Madea, but he just
he's too stuck in that role.
I feel like he just shouldn't be in his movies because it's like he's just Madea. Like, he just can't break from that character. And sometimes when you play those characters for so long, it's hard to break from them. Like I said, it's just like Whitley from A Different World, you know, Jasmine Guy, you know. And she even said it herself, like, she played Whitley so long, it was like that's all people wanted to see her as. When she tried to take a whole of her career and just play different roles, like, I remember she played as a cop, and she was like, it was just like, people just wanted Whitley, and she was like, she ain't want to do that no more. And it's also with Steve Urkel. Steve Urkel, Jaleel White, he said the same thing. He's like, when he tried to branch off and do more serious roles, every minute people are talking about Urkel. He's like, you know, like, even though he's known for what he did when he was younger, he's like, he feels like he's stuck with the little kid in the suspenders. Excuse me. And, you know, that affects him badly.
But I would have thought he would have known more for Sonic, because that voice would be more iconic to me.
A lot of people don't know about it like that. Because look at how many different Sonic versions they have.
At the same time, a lot of these new sitcoms, like, Grown-ish, they're trying to take a page out of A Different World book by establishing a new cast of black people going to college while putting a little twist to it.
Which is good. They just basically made it more modern. And I like it. I like Grown-ish. But Grown-ish, again, is... They try to make it more diverse than A Different World. A Different World, at the beginning, they had the Caucasian woman who also with Lisa Bonet, which she's very light-skinned, so that didn't work. Once they lost that character and they even lost the Caucasian character, it was strictly black. So,
and that's when the storylines became more interesting, and it absolutely became a masterpiece.
Right. So, I mean, you know, those sitcoms, like I was saying, like, I feel like, for example, another one that I forgot to mention would be Girlfriends. Like, I like Girlfriends, but to a certain extent. I like the fact that they put a group of black women together and show how they could be supportive of one another as friends, and also make them strong as far as they're educated. You know, they have, they're career driven, you know, like, they, while having so much going for themselves, they made it so, like, they still have issues that we would go through today while being, you know, on your game. And I think that that's, like, I feel like today if we had more shows like that, like, it could really been a more positive light on the black community, because, like we said before, like, dealing with these reality shows where all these people talk about is, you know, like, no one's talking about education or anything. You have, for example, in Love and Hip Hop, everybody's trying to get a record deal, everybody's trying to, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just
not really reality.
It's pettiness that they're doing. And even in several reunions of those shows, it's sad because you have a producer, Mona Scott. She's a black woman. And some of the cast is even saying, well, she told me to do this so we could get ratings. So then it's like, is it really a reality show or is it all about just getting ratings? Because it's like they're treating a cast like puppets and they're the puppet master. So it's like, you are telling black men and women to act the fool and fight each other and curse each other out and cheat on each other and do certain things. And just, I feel like those shows and people like Mona Scott is just reflecting a negative light on the black community. Like, it should be to uplift black people, like, not just make them seem like cliche what people already think of us. Oh, you're black. Oh, that means you're ghetto. That means you're ratchet. You're this. You're that. You're gonna start fights. You're just, it's just basically playing into the man's hand, not really branching off and saying, no, we're not like that. We're young kings and queens. Like, we on our grownish. It's just, yeah, we're clowns. We're fools. Yeah, puppet master us, but. Yeah.
And I think also, for me, a great TV show, even though it's not a part of the sitcoms or even reality shows, it's just a regular TV show, would be Dear White People. That actually shows black people in an educated setting trying to figure out life and figuring themselves out. Something like A Different World, but something also not like grownish, but people that are really real. Especially when you talk about the whole Lisa Bonet being pregnant. Remember, there was an episode in Dear White People where the character Coco became pregnant and she had a choice in the matter of either having an abortion or keeping it. And I don't remember the entire episode, but I think she ended up leaving the abortion clinic and just keeping it while still trying to go to school.
I remember that episode, but not clearly. But yeah, she made a choice to, I think, I'm not sure if she kept it or not, because I just know that, like, she just kept having this little girl as a conscience or something, just basically saying things to her that basically made her, it's like having like someone guilt trip you, or like having like that on your conscience, like, oh, this is what happened, this is like it was
a what if scenario.
Right, but I'm not sure if it was a what if or if she actually went through with it or if she really did walk. Like, I gotta watch that one again. It's been a while.
I believe she actually went through with it.
Yeah, I'm not completely.
But the show itself actually is a very interesting and positive show, because it deals with a lot of things that a lot of black people go through. Even though the main character is mixed herself, she still has a lot of stuff that a lot of us in today's society wish we could say in public or to other people, but instead we don't.
Yeah, but I mean, Dear White People is cool, but I feel like some of the characters I'm wishy-washy about, because it's like, I guess some of them went through certain things in their life in which they became the person that they are, but it's like, at the same time, I felt some of them were contradicting, like Coco. Like, Coco, it's like, she gives me the Omarosa vibes, but without the Trump. No, not a Trump supporter. No, just, yeah.
I just, I get what you mean.
But, she went through a phase where she was all proud, and then she went through a phase where she was worried about acceptance with the white crowd. And
I think that was like a take on how white you could become in society, because she started like I would say questioning her own identity as a black woman to an extent to where she's trying to please both. She was trying to people please black people. She was trying to people please white people. Trying to be something she wasn't.
Right.
And that's the reason why she even started calling herself Coco, because she did not like her real name. Or she tried to distance herself from her mother and the way her mother was, what they would call cliche ghetto.
Right, but it's even with the main character, Sam, because her name is Sam White. Yeah. And she was talking about Black Pride and everything, and not even her best friend, which I personally love her character out of all of the characters, Joelle. It's like Joelle said something about like what happened to not something with the opposers, and Sam was actually dating a white guy, but then on the radio talking against white people. So it's like it really confused a lot of her listeners and stuff on the radio, and even her friends, because it was like she was sneaking around dating, having a white bae, but then talking like you're all for the black man. So that was very contradicting with her character.
Yes, but they call that talking black, sleeping white.
Well, I don't know about all that, but I'm just saying that was crazy. Oh, wow, look at the time, you guys. You know, we really got into the whole black culture about the sitcoms, but that's all for right now. I mean, if you have any suggestions, or if you wanted us to speak on any other sitcoms, or even just tell us how you feel about this episode, we are more than welcome to listen and to your ideas and everything. But for now, that's all the time that we have for now. This was another episode of The Uncanny Truth Teller, here with Alicia and also
Kanye Tetsibo.
And we will see you guys on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the podcast. Please tune in again with The Uncanny Truth Teller. This is Kanye Tetsibo, and I'm out.